Attention, men. Are you wanting to break free from porn or other unwanted sexual behaviors, but finding it seemingly impossible to quit? If so, we can help. My name is Jonathan Daugherty, the founder of Gateway to Freedom. This 3-day workshop is for any man who wants to overcome any kind of unwanted sexual behavior. So whether you're married, single, or divorced, this powerful and proven intensive weekend will help you uncover what is at the root of your struggle and discover the man God always created you to be. Space is limited, so call us today at 210-822-8201 to register. That's 210-822-8201, or visit bebroken.org/GTF. Good day, friends. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the PSR Podcast. We are a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. In this episode, my friend Dr. Stephen Cervantes and I, we dive into the emotional impact of failure. We both express how deeply we hate failing, describing how it triggers feelings of rejection, isolation, and shame. But we explore the importance of reframing failure, emphasizing that God's love still remains constant despite our setbacks. His grace truly abounds. We suggest that solitude can be a sanctuary for self-reflection and growth, encouraging you to create a holy space for healing. We ultimately want to offer you a compassionate perspective on failure, encouraging gentleness toward yourself, and confidence in the transformative power of God's unwavering love. So we start the episode by saying, I hate failure. But we end it with, but God likes me, and so do I. For daily thoughts from Stephen, visit drmarriage.org. For additional resources from us, visit bebroken.org or check out links that we're going to put in today's show notes. And as always, friends, we invite you to rate and review the podcast after listening, because this does help others find it when they're searching for this content. All right, let's get into today's important conversation about failure, hope, and personal growth. All right, well, Dr. Stephen Cervantes, how's it going?
Hey, blessed mightily. God is good. We have a new year.
Yep.
I feel good. I'm in the fight. I love the fight. I never want to not be in the fight. It's like walking in the essence of life and God and good.
Yeah.
It's a great fight.
Well, and I'm speaking of a great fight, I'm excited about what we're going to talk about today, even though it's a topic that many don't like to talk about.
Oh, gosh. So I got to tell you, I hate failing.
Amen.
I hate failing, because if I fail, I will be rejected. Mm. Right? You fail and people go, what's the matter with you? You're not like us. And if I get rejected, there's a mocking and a laughing and an exclusion of you're different that occurs. I hate failing. Who wants to be excluded?
Right.
Left out? Abandoned, all alone, unworthy, different.
Or be called a failure.
Yeah, you misfit. I hate failing. It just shakes my core. I hate failing. I hate failing coming around me. I hate failing coming near me. I hate being implicated by somebody else's failing. I hate failing. I don't know about you, but I hate failing.
I feel like we need a hashtag and a t-shirt. I hate failing.
Because failing means I'm alone in the alone place. And I remind myself in that place that I have failed and nobody wants me and I'm going to be alone. And do you know what it's like to be alone in life?
Mm.
Alone and fight in life?
Yeah.
Alone in a desert, on a mountain, alone in a society, alone. Do you know what it's like? I hate failing, because failing means I'm alone.
I'm getting anxious over here right now, just all this talk about failing, because I'm with you. I mean, I hate it too. And even as you were saying that, there's almost in my mind, I'm getting this, there's like this progression that goes on in our mind around failing. It's like, you know, you said, if I fail, I'll be rejected. If I'm rejected, that puts a label on me, like I am a failure. Then that, yes, from that shame statement, it drives me further and further into isolation, because guess what? I'm probably not going to risk as much. I'm not going to get out there as much because I've failed and I am a failure.
Oh,
and then, so now the more I'm alone though, then that starts to just heighten all of my core fears of like, oh no, I'm not good enough. I'm not going to measure up. So I just better get smaller and smaller and smaller and just disappear.
And put on a smiley face.
Or pretend, exactly.
And go out there and say, look, I want to look like you. I'm not going to say much. I'm not going to risk much. I've got to hide because I can't afford to fail. I can't be on my own. I don't know life. How am I supposed to figure out life on my own? I need community and support and a place to belong, and alone, it doesn't make me better.
Yeah. Well, and then the irony to this idea of hating failure,
mm-hmm,
is that it is inescapable in life.
Ooh,
like you can't not fail. Like, and I mean, I don't care what it is. I mean, we talk a lot of times when we're doing our intensive workshops with guys about, you know, even the fact that the recovery journey, there's going to be stumblings and failures along the way.
Right.
And then, you know, like, hey, if you've ever developed a good skill at anything, you didn't get there without having failures and you learned from that. And that's all fine and good, but it doesn't mean that I enjoy failure. And yet it's it's ubiquitous. It's part of life.
I hate failing. And I remind myself at the times I failed, that I have failed before.
Right.
And people have rejected me and mistreated me and called me names and called me a freak. And you're not a man, you're a boy. Guys are hard on each other. And right, they go, you freak, you know, you misfit, you don't belong. What's the matter with you? The language that happens in the alone place with the rejection, it haunts me. And I'm haunted by the times that people let me down and left me alone and told me I wasn't worth it. And they excluded me. Mm. And I heard later there was a gathering. All the guys got together, but they didn't invite me. Oh, they had a great time.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody told me. And I was alone. I hate failing because failing means being alone.
Well, and think about the nature of like failing, perpetuating failure. So for instance, I think about this in the just kind of the generational patterns of brokenness that can happen in a family, right? Is you have a guy that grows up in a family where his dad is harsh and mean and cruel and abusive. And that boy grows up and says, I will never be like that. My whole intent is I won't fail my family that way. I won't fail my kids that way. And how often does that boy grow up? And because that's the pattern that he was raised in, there is a perpetuation of even that failure. And then how much does that compound the shame when later on he realizes I'm harsh and I'm cruel with my kids and I'm... And so it's like failure often begets failure.
Yes.
Because it's just kind of, it's part of, I mean, obviously we can get spiritual. We can go all the way back to the very beginning. And it's part of what happened at the fall, that we are a people of failure. I like to say it this way too, that even if we can't live up to God's standards, which obviously we can't, you and I can't live up to our own standard.
It's true.
Like, when's the last time, Stephen, I mean, you could probably think in your lifetime, where you looked at someone else, or I'll just use me for an example. In my lifetime, I've certainly looked at other people in my past and gone, man, they ought to do this. They should do that.
Oh, right.
And then guess what? It's only a matter of time before I did that and I did said that. The very thing that I'm looking at them and saying, you shouldn't do that or you should do that. And so that we can't even live up to our own standard.
I hate failure.
So failure's heavy, right?
I mean, I hate it's like failure. Because failure means I'm alone and I need you to distract me and tell me I'm good and entertain me and walk with me. too much alone is not good. The alone place isn't full of great things. Oftentimes, I feel like the alone place is like a junk pile, a junkyard of broken things in the alone place that I remember. And I look at them, and then I look at me, and I think, is that who I am? Am I just a failure, a loser, a flawed human being? Is that who I am?
And I do think so many times when we view failure through that lens, which is the natural lens, right? Of, hey, I'm going to be rejected. I don't want that. There's shame. There's all these kind of things. Then it's only natural that then that drives us into an alone place that is negative, an alone place that is dangerous for our soul, because then that's where we get involved in all kinds of, you know, that's where guys who come to our ministry, that's why they're coming to our ministry, because they're the alone place with all of that shame and failure is, yeah, I'm going to go look at porn. I'm going to go act out. I'm going to go try to find all these pleasurable things to medicate and numb out.
It's good.
All the effects of failure in my life, which is, again, ironic because those are additional failures that are compounding the shame.
On top of failure. I hate failure on top of failure.
Exactly.
I hate failure. And I put them together like this. If I fail, think about a continuum here, okay? If I fail, I'm going to be rejected. If I get rejected, I'm going to be abandoned. If I'm abandoned, I'm going to be all alone. And in the alone place, most of my life, good stuff has not lived in the alone place.
Mm-hmm. That's where you mull on your failures, right? That's where you can, it just compounds in shame and all
That's
of that.
That's right. And the aloneness, it's almost like in my youth, I needed more affirmation from others to be okay. Because, where does our identity and worth come from? It comes from our mother and father in the beginning. We're blobs. We don't know who we are, how to think. And they say, oh, you're such a good son, or, oh, you're so kind, you have a good heart. Now they're speaking identity into us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in the beginning we need identity because we're not sure who we are and where we stand and what matters. And then after a while, you need less assurance from others, because if you grow spiritually, you have a connection with God and he walks with you in the alone place.
And some of it too is as we grow and mature, we start to gain new competencies and we start to gain new skills and we're put into new environments where as much as we've said it over and over again, I hate failing, I hate failing, I hate failing, the reality is none of us have literally failed at everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
So failure is a piece of life. You could even say it's a thread that goes through life, but it's not all of life, right?
No.
So especially, I think sometimes as a kid, when you're small and you don't know much, and maybe you don't have as much skills or you don't have as much resources and all of that, then failure feels way bigger. And then as you grow and you realize, oh, I do know, I'm getting smarter with math, and oh, I can do this, and I can build that. And there's a sense in which, you're right, identity is a huge part of it, but also just the confidence that comes with being able to learn skills. You start to realize that failure is a piece of life, and it's still a sucky piece of life. Like, we don't like it. I hate failure, right? But sometimes, here's the point I wanted to make, is sometimes that idea of how much we hate failure, it can start to overshadow the rest of our lives into that identity statement that's false, that says, I am a failure, right?
Yeah.
And then that starts to cast a shadow over everything, even though you have not 100% failed at every single thing you've ever done, right?
Yes. But in the alone place is where you have to figure out, if nobody else wants you, do you want you?
Mm.
Do you want to enjoy your own company? Do you want to be okay with you? Because it sounds like a little emotional self-talk, which it is, but it's only part of what has to happen in the alone place. One, I have to stop being my own worst enemy. I've just stopped tearing me up, right? How am I going to go forward if every time I fail and I'm rejected, then I too reject me, turn on me, and speak low worth over me?
But see, you're asking a good question, because I do think the more we're in that alone place and we really start to get kind of a view of ourselves that, well, good grief, if I actually am a failure, if that's true, then I don't even want me. I don't even like me. And a lot of times it's out of that thought that we start to have huge doubts about God ever wanting us. Because if, I mean, if I look in the mirror and I go, there's nothing here that I like, it's just a big failure, then even though I may have heard many times about the love of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God and how, you know, he loves us with an everlasting love, it might be hard for that to penetrate because I'm going, because I'm filtering it through me first.
Well, and if I hate me,
he can't like me.
Yeah, I hate me, and there's this good talk on Sunday about his love, but I hate me. I can't stand me. How in the world could he even a little bit like me? I can't even stand to be with me. So, I mean, there's a sense of, can we be kinder to ourselves? Can we accept that we're flawed human beings? And I want to tell me what you think about this. I like me and God likes me. Because sometimes people go, oh, it's all that psychobabble stuff. And why do you say that? You're a sinner, you're flesh, you're bad. It's like, look, I'm a creation of God. Okay, that's what I am. And either when he made me, he made a bad thing or he made a good thing. And if he made me and he likes me and he wants me, could I like me?
Right, right.
And he likes me and I like me. And he, could we run the emotional system and the spiritual in harmony?
And I really like the way you're phrasing that and proposing that, because, you know, sometimes the way what you're talking about is phrased is, you know, can't you accept that God loves you? And sometimes,
like up here in my head.
Well, or the
a
idea.
A little bit, yeah.
The way the reason I like the way you're saying is it, can you accept that God likes you?
Oh, yeah.
Because here's the thing. Sometimes love, because of how we understand like family structures and all that kind of stuff, it's almost like it's sometimes seen as an obligation.
Okay.
Like, why does a parent love their child? It's because it's their child. There's a possessive quality to it. It's like, this is mine, and of course I have to love this child, right? Instead of the idea of like, this is why I think it's actually even more powerful in the gospel when Jesus calls us friends.
Oh, yeah.
Because see, a father, you assume an obligation to love his child.
Yeah.
But a friend, it's all voluntary. A friend is not obligated to you in the same way that a father is to like you, to love you. Where, so then when a friend comes along, he's saying, I'm voluntarily saying, I want to choose to be with you. I like you. And so that's why I like the way you're phrasing that. Can we start to realize this can start to break up this idea of failure being a curse, failure being something that is going to create an identity in me that I am a failure. When God looks at me and says, I've seen all your failures, even the ones that you're going to commit the rest of your life.
Whoa.
And I've chosen, yes, I've chosen to love you, but in that love, I like you. Like, because I made you. You're my boy.
Yeah. No, that's good, because failure means rejection by others. But in the alone place, will I go there and reject me, or will I like me and take care of me and be smart and be careful with me, not because I'm so great, because I think that's what God really wants me to do, is to live in love and have a sense that I am loved and I am his. And do I want to do something stupid and move out of that love zone? Because in the alone place, there is fear and there is love. And when you go to the fear place, it's the junkyard of your old pain. But if you go to the love place, you're standing right in the flow of the Father.
And also, one of the things that's so important about that is when you start to learn to be in that alone place and experiencing the love of God, what's in that love of God is forgiveness.
Yes.
So guess what? It's not like, oh, if I just get in the love zone with God, somehow all my failures no longer exist.
Mm.
It's like, no, all my failures are covered.
Interesting.
And I think that is even more powerful than trying to hope that somehow all my past failures won't exist anymore and I'll never fail again. Instead, God is saying, Stephen, I've liked you so much from before the foundation of the world that I made a way that all your failures are going to be covered and that you and I can hang out and I can walk through life. And because of that, you're going to learn how to walk in a new way where alone won't scare you anymore. Alone won't cripple you anymore.
As I hear you say that, I hear such kindness coming from you. And I'm thinking, well, can I be kind to me?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the invitation this way.
Yeah.
But there is a program inside of condemnation. And either I'm going to run to the condemnation or I'm going to turn and say, no, I think I'll be kind to me and stay in. And we could call it love or we could call it kindness or we could call it forgiveness or acceptance or oneness, right? Or do I want to stay in this oneness zone where I'm forgiven and I'm connected and I'm known? And I want to protect that zone because the fear is crying out over here saying, come on, come on. Nobody wants you. You're all alone. You know you're not good enough. They're better than you are. You're stupid. You make mistakes. They laugh at you. But it's like, no, when I sit in the kindness of my Father, it's like I want to protect that. So in the alone place, I want to protect my alone place. I don't want to do stupid, bad, shameful, ugly things so that when I'm alone, there I am again in the old broken, painful, fearful, unworthy place because I did stupid. No, I want to protect the alone place as a sacred place of union.
And I love that because a lot of times, you know, we've dealt with a lot of men over the years. And the alone place has been where they have done all their acting out.
That's
it's where
right.
all of the addiction lives. And sometimes what that does, then it paints the idea of being alone at all as inherently negative, inherently sinful, and only failure. Mm. Whereas God has redeemed everything in our lives. So there's a sense in which even alone can be redeemed to where it can become, I love the word you use. I think you use the word, it can become a sanctuary. It can become a place where I go, I don't have to be afraid, ashamed. I don't have to be beating myself up with condemnation. I can be here. I can be here sitting alone. Now, the irony of this, or maybe the interesting thing about this, is that we've been talking a lot about alone in relationship with God. So technically, we're not really alone. Like,
no, that's right.
And now we're alone in our human relationships, maybe.
That's right.
And the fact of the matter is, and this is something that we need all of our younger viewers and listeners to realize, is the longer you live, you're going to have more experiences of aloneness.
Absolutely.
Because family will die. People will die. People that are close to you
move
away.
There's best friends.
You're just going to experience a lot of disconnection and seasons where you're alone. And so the more you can be learning this of like, alone doesn't have to equal failure. It doesn't have to be like a prison.
Well, but I would say failure will send you to the alone place.
Yeah.
But then go on from
there. What are you
going
to do when you're there? Are you going to wallow in shame? Are you going to condemn? Are you going to, you know, act out?
And remember the line from before, I give myself permission. I think I'm learning the power of that line. So let me finish it. I give myself permission to be kind to my human flesh, imperfect self.
Yeah.
I want to be kind to me because my Father is kind to me. He doesn't want me to beat me anymore. He said, I got that covered. Why are you doing that? Why are you playing that little game down there of punish yourself so you can be better? Punish, be hard on yourself, shame yourself so you can be. He goes, why are you playing that game? Why don't you come over here and let's have a little union and I can remind you who I am and who you are.
Yeah. So I've got an idea for how we can like complete this statement that we started with. You know, we started with, I hate failing, I hate failing, I hate failing.
I hate failing in my flesh, but in my emotions, my history. I hate failing.
Here's how I think we can respond to that based on the conversation we've had. It's, we can say, I hate failing, but God likes me and so do I.
Ooh, listen to you, John.
What do you think of that?
Like, I like it. God likes me and so do I.
So I am not a failure. Yes. I have failed. Yes. And I hate failing. I'll be honest about it. I hate failing.
Because I'll be alone. Put that piece in there.
Mm-hmm.
But in the alone place.
But God likes me.
Amen.
And I can like me too.
Amen. Like, God likes me. And I like the fact you're not saying love. Because love kicks it over into that other thing, love and blah, 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 blah. But God likes me. It sort of gets around the brain and all the thing about love and God likes me. And I, that's like a novel new thought. My brain has to go, whoa, 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 whoa. God likes me and I like me. And we have a few minutes of alone. I think I'll go for a walk, sing a song, play my guitar, organize my desk. I think I'll call a friend. You can do 100 things in the alone place.
Mm-hmm. And here's what's beautiful. You know, in that alone place, did you know that that God and I can actually have the same view of my failures? In other words, did you know God hates failure too?
Oh.
So here's the thing. He and I can look, we can be shoulder to shoulder looking at my failure and going, yeah, neither one of us like that. But God can say, it doesn't prevent me from liking you because I've covered that.
And even if they don't like you.
Yeah.
When you're quiet, why don't you come sit with me? When you're alone, come sit in my presence.
Yeah.
Create a holy space where you and I can be. You can just be you and I'll be me and we'll be together.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a restful, peaceful place. Because what Jonathan said is true. As you get older, there's more alone, right? And the relationships, somehow things that were high energy and people move, people get sick, things change. And it's like, being alone well is really part of mental health.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to live a better life if you can do alone well.
And I think it's okay, as we've kind of come full circle here, it's okay for us to still say with incredible passion and energy, I hate failing.
I hate failing in my flesh, in my emotion, my passion. I hate, a part of my being hates it.
So we haven't changed that.
Yeah.
But what we're saying is, how are we going to respond to that differently? Because I think previously we said, I hate failing, and it's led to condemnation. It's led to a false identity statement. It's led to shame and me going off and doing stupid things in the alone place. Whereas now we're saying, I can still hate failing, but now I've got a sweet place of sanctuary in the alone place with a God who likes me and who can teach me how to like myself.
Yes, and my spirit. I mean, I hate failing is such an emotionally powerful thing. But then I remind myself I'm a spiritual being.
Yeah.
So I can take my spirit over to the sanctuary, right? And sit there for a moment and quiet my emotional system. Because I have spiritual resources and emotional resources. Mm-hmm. And my emotions are breaking down. But I can shift to spiritual resources and help my emotional self not go into self-destruct mode.
Yeah. And you know what's beautiful about this too is it will grow your empathy for other people who also hate failing, other people who know, hey, failure sucks.
Yeah.
And it'll bring a sweet sense of, you'll be able to be more kind and empathetic and loving. And you'll even be able to maybe be a little bit of a mentor of, hey, can I share with you some of the things that's been on my own journey of how the condemnation and the shame that's been associated with failure before has now been replaced by a sweet relationship with a God who likes me and teaches me how to like myself.
And I've learned to be kind to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm giving myself permission to be kind to myself because God likes me and I'm growing in the liking of me.
Yeah.
Oh, can't you just feel the rest?
Yeah, so think about it this way, you know. Jesus is the one that said, all the law and the prophets hinge on this one command, love your neighbor how?
As you love yourself.
As yourself.
Amen.
So this is connected to a command that says, all the law and the prophets hinge on this. This is important. This is not something just to say, oh, it's those two guys talking again about some silly idea. It's like, this is actually central to what we're called to as believers in Jesus of like, man, I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself. Well, if I have self-hatred and condemnation and I don't even like me, how on earth am I going to love my neighbor? So this is huge.
That's good. Thank you, Jonathan.
Well, we hope this has helped you kind of take some thoughts and maybe some step forward in your own navigating of failure and that alone place and what has been maybe your historical way of dealing with that. And maybe you've gotten some fresh ideas about how you can go into that place, being kinder to yourself.
Amen.
And really experiencing the love and the like of God.
Okay. After this podcast, I hate failing a little less. God bless.
All right. Well, glad you're with us. And we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.
Amen.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.